Well, it's the red letter day. We're starting Luke 10. What?
Luke 10. Have we rung out 9? We got everything, Dave.
I don't know. Do you understand cost of discipleship?
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty good.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. The word of Makarios is the one that we've studied many times, that it means to he who, Lord, he to whom a person or thing belongs. That's why Beelzebub said, sort of rhetorically, Beelzebub is Lord of the flies. That's what he calls, that Jesus calls Satan. I guess the reason this word is important is because we should be Lord of nothing. The reason is we should, the whole mystery of God is that I suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung, so we don't own anything. And the material issues are easy. It's the ownership that you have of opinions and stands that is the real problem area.
And we're servants.
Yeah, you can't be a lord. You can't be a lord and a servant. And not only are we servants, we're bond servants. And this was so important to Paul and others that he put the servanthood above being an apostle or a prophet or anything else. Because you can have nothing else unless you're first a servant. You can have no other office. Let's go to Philippians a minute. Chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dumb. It's axiomatic in that phrase. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So whatever you haven't counted as loss hinders the knowledge of the excellency of the Lord. So whatever possession you have, and I'm not talking about whether you own a shirt or something, I'm talking about whether or not with the possessions internally. Whatever possession you have, i.e. opinion, stand, etc., then your knowledge of the revelation of Christ is less. You understand? So he suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dumb. There's no trick to suffer the loss of all things. You just this. But to count them that dung is humongous. And the same thing where Paul, let's go to Galatians 6. It's the same kind of thinking. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But and remember, circumcised doesn't just mean it's a standard word in common Greek that meant stop doing something. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Again, there's no trick in being crucified unto the world, but you unto the... I mean, there's no trick in having the world crucified unto you. The mystery is that you are crucified unto the world. What does that mean?
Dead. No attachments. No.
It means there's nothing in you that the world would desire. Probably means a lot more, but all right, back to Luke 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Now, appointed doesn't mean like we think it means, or like I'm going to appoint somebody this or that. It means to show or exhibit clearly. And what does that mean in this case? He's selected 70 to go before him in all the places that he's going to go, but he appointed them. They're his representatives. They are, as we talked about before, the advance men, and so they are clearly exhibiting this mystery of Christ in them as they go forth. Got it?
Kind of like John the Baptist and all that.
Same thing.
Preaching repentance so that they can hear when he arrives.
Same thing. Let's go and see another one about appointed. Let's go to Acts 1. Here it's that meaning, and verse it's Well, let's start verse 15. Acts 1, verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. He said, men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all that dwelleth at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in their proper tongue Aseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, let another take. Wherefore, these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And when they prayed and said, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. It's interesting, you never hear of a Matthias again, but the word in verse 24, knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. In other words, make it clear, reveal that this one would reflect Christ. Show. All right? Back to Luke. The Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face. I'm sorry, but we've got to spend some time with other, because it's so important in several scriptures. There are two words for other. One is heteros, and the other is allos. Heteros means of a different sort, and allos means other of the same basis. There's a whole lot of description about others of a different sort. Let's first look at Galatians 1, and we'll see the meaning real clearly.
Would you say the two different meanings again?
Others of the same sort, or others of a different sort. So here he was naming the 70 other than the 12 apostles. So if he had included the 12 in the 70, then he would have used allos. But there he used heteros. Okay? So now in Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It's a gospel of a different sort. It has nothing to do with the first, with the gospel. Do you understand? It's a gospel that has nothing to do with the gospel, is what it's saying. That's why it says, which is not another. So now let's go to First Corinthians 15. It's emphasizing that it isn't allos, it's a heteros. It's a totally different gospel. if it would have been the same gospel with a different, with just slightly different look at it, it would be Allos. But this is a gospel that has absolutely nothing to do. It's heteros. That's why he said, which is not Allos. It's heteros. That's why he said, not another, Allos. Okay? No, no.
That's wrong.
Yeah. All right.
That's why that word is important.
That's why we're studying, because it really is important. And let's reveal in 1 Corinthians 15 more so. Let's start in verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another, heteros, flesh of beast, another, heteros, fishes, and another, heteros, birds. So he's contrasting the different kinds of flesh by saying they're not the same as the thing, okay? And it goes on. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another, is heteros. So it's not the same glory, you see? There's one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. And what the point he's making here, he's contrasting all of these different kind of others, and he's saying, so then is the resurrection of the dead. It has nothing to do with the first. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. They're not the same. That's why you don't recognize, you know, anybody, if you lose consciousness of yourself, then there's no consciousness of others in the mystery of God and in heaven. There's only, you're swallowed up. The only consciousness is of God. Anyway, that's the point that's making, and that's why the word heteros is used. It's another. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yeah, I think in what you just did, verses 37 and 8, kind of set it up. Where it talks about the seed. Every seed has its own body, you know, so it kind of, for me, it clarified
that. Well, I mean, do you realize why this is important? Just think of the theologies that people have. That's why some, you're going to be raised, and you're going to look just like you look now, and you're going to be in heaven, and you're going to see grandma and
your dog
and your little doggy. Yeah. All right.
Play golf with your friends.
Play golf. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. No, let's not go there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11.
Where do we go? 2 Corinthians
11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not occupied, accepted, I mean, you might well hear it, bear with him. And so each of those another's is the word heteros. It's totally different from the first. It has nothing, no reference to the first. Okay?
And what's the first one called? That's heteros.
Heteros.
And
let's look at allos and see.
Allos.
We'll see allos. Go to John 14. There's a bunch more, aren't we? But this will give you the idea. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now that's allos, the same of the same nature. Okay? So he's the same nature as Christ, which is the same nature as the Father.
I love him.
I'm happy for you. All right, back to Luke 10. Everybody got this other thing clear? And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and set them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would to go. City is that great word, polis, which is the place of one's birth. And every time the New Jerusalem is mentioned, whether it's in Hebrews or in Revelation, the polos is the name of our birth city. So if you're born again, the natural place on earth where you say you were from or born is no longer that. Now your home city is the New Jerusalem. And there's no reference to the past. And that's so important. You got it? You're born from the first estate, born from above. We're not going to go through all those heavenly city ones, but you know what? Let me just read them off so that people didn't. It's Hebrews 11, verse 10 and verse 16, Hebrews 12, 22, Hebrews 13, verse 14. Revelation 3:12, 21:2, 21:14, and 21:19 all talk about our city, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Talk about what?
Our birthplace, the New Jerusalem. Verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Harvest is the word therismos. Remember when we've talked about harvest in the scriptures, whenever it was talked about the barley harvest, it was talking about Passover. Whenever it was talking about the wheat harvest, it was talking about Pentecost. But here, he's saying, this is the end time harvest. Now, I want to show you what he says about what. Let's go to John 4. Verse 34. Verse 31. In the meantime, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat, or my food, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. This was 2,000 years ago. And this was the end time harvest. If it was 2,000 years ago, he has said the fields are ripe. What is he saying now? If the work was finished 2,000 years ago, what is he saying now? Let's go to Mark 4. We don't have time. But that's kind of an important question. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That's always Jesus was encouraging us. Always in the book of Revelation. It's always come see, come see. Come see. Stop looking from the bottom up. Look from the top down. Come see. And that will revolutionize. It will cause a thing to take place in you where truly the walk of the gospel is easy. Because you can't possibly give importance to what's going on around you. You can't possibly give importance to what you feel or don't feel, and what you think or don't think. Because you're looking and seeing with the eyes of faith from the top down. It's a totally different look, and it'll transform your life. Well, how do you look from the top down? Only one way, always the same. Repentance. Well, you're doing it, Mr. Buckner.
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
Anybody else? Everybody understand what it means to look from the top down? Good. Take a big guy.